Seems like I just can't feel God like I used to feel God. I said, he never said that when he was around, you'd have to feel him. You just got to praise him because he's still there. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's one thing about the law of worship. It's not something you have to feel. It's just something you have to obey to reap its benefits. How many of you feel like stopping at a stop sign? You don't have to see the presence of a police officer. You just know there's a law involved. Somebody say amen. And you know when it's in the dark of night and nobody's watching, when you run that stop sign, you feel the consequence of your violation of that law in your conscience. Am I right about it? That's the way it is with worship. You don't have to see God. You just have to obey God. But there's a benefit to obeying God because there's power in praise. And I appreciate what I'm feeling here tonight. I delight in being here, and I thank God again for Brother Sutton and this wonderful church family. Had a chance to go out to one of my favorite restaurants today, or favorite type of food. I went and ate me some Chinese food. Hallelujah. Make you want to shout, don't it? And you know, one thing about eating at Chinese buffets, you got to really guard your holiness. You'll come close enough to sinning. I was just about one bite off, man. I had to slow down because I was really enjoying it. And had a chance to go fishing the other day. I love fishing. I want you to know, I could sit and tell you some of the greatest fish stories today, that the other day, you know, all the great big fish I caught, whatever, but I'd be lying. And but I had a great time, looking forward to coming back this way again just to be with this wonderful church family. I do appreciate this church family for the sincerity and the love. There's such a welcoming spirit in this church. If you are a visitor here, I want to tell you that what you are experiencing is not a show. The people in this congregation are like this when they leave this church, when they go to their homes, when they go to their workplaces. This is truly a loving church. Why don't you clap your hands right now for the great presence of the Lord? If you'll stand with me, we'll go to the book of James. I promise not to be very long, whatever that means in English. You know, they got preacher's language, I won't be long, and you got English, I won't be long. I'm going to use the English version of it won't be long. Still, whatever that means in English. Blessed is the man, James chapter 1, verse number 12. Something beautiful happened to me tonight. I rushed out to go to the ATM. I forgot my money for the offering, and I rushed out to go get it, and I was in the car coming back, and Brother Tony's little boy, he said, "Here, Brother Ellis, here. And I reached back, and he put a dollar bill in my hand, and he sweetly said, "Here's the money for the offering. Put that in the offering." And I want you to know, it just melted me. I want to keep his money. But I had already gotten mine from the ATM. But you know, it just shows that moms and dads, we really do have an impact on our children when we teach them a generous spirit. And he said it so sweetly, and I said, "You know what I really want for you? What I really want from you?" He said, "What?" I said, "For you to teach me how to fish." He laughed. He thought I was joking. James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth death, bringeth forth sin, And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I want to teach tonight very briefly how to overcome temptation. How to overcome temptation. Can you put your Bibles down and clap your hands and give the Lord a big hand clap of praise and make a lot of noise for him with your voices? Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful God, I thank you for your loving word. Your word is a healer in Jesus' name. How to overcome temptation. You may be seated. I want us to look back for just a moment at man's oldest problem, temptation. It goes all the way back to Adam. We all eventually face it. And sometimes when you don't know what to do, sometimes even when you know what's right to do, it's hard to say no to temptation. It's difficult. One man said, I can withstand anything except temptation. He goes on to say, the only way to get rid of temptation is to give in to it. Isn't that how some people really respond to it? I couldn't help myself. It seems like pressure got so great, I just had to give in to it. Now, there are two Bible terms for the word testing. Two Bible kinds of testing. One is called trials, and the other is called temptation. Both of them use the same Greek word. Sometimes that Greek word is translated trials, and at other times it is translated temptation. But it really doesn't matter, because a situation can be both a trial and a temptation at the same time. But in order to distinguish them tonight, I'd like to help you understand by saying that trials are situations designed by God in order to develop us and help us grow. They develop character. They develop patience. They develop long-suffering. They develop character. They develop integrity. They develop wisdom. They develop strength in the inner man. However, temptations are designed by the devil in order to cause us to sin. Job's case, for example, was both a trial by God and a temptation by the devil. The devil approached God he made his report along with the other angels. And God asked him where he'd been. He said, roaming to and fro in the earth. And God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? The devil responded properly by saying, I can't. I can't do anything to Job because you won't let me. You have set a hedge around Job, and you will not let me get to him like you have other folk. But if you let me get to Job, if you let me touch him, you blessed his house, you blessed his family, you blessed all that he had, you blessed him with increase. But if you let me touch him, I'd make him curse you to your face. God said, you've got a deal. The Bible then goes on to say that God told the devil, everything that Job has is in your power. God gave the devil authority over all of Job's possessions, over the safety of his family, over his credibility in his community, over the wealth that he possessed, over his health. God gave the devil authority over that. Now, God's point of this situation was to prove that Job was still an upright man, that Job was a man that loved God and hated evil, and he would serve God despite his circumstances. The devil's side of this was he wanted to destroy Job's faith and cause him to curse God. Are you following here? Number one, you need to understand that the devil can't even tempt you until God has already given him the go-ahead. You ought to give somebody a high five and say, I'm safe. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, I'm safe. God has his hand on my life, I'm safe. I might be tried, but I'm safe because the hand of God is upon me. Can somebody say amen? And the Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. There is a reward for enduring temptation. There is a reward for going through it and not giving up. Hanging in there when the pressure's on. Staying in the fight when you would willingly or would so easily and otherwise have given up. The blessing is, the prize is, the first thing he said, blessed is the man. Happy. The word blessed, it's a Greek word which means happy. Having found favor with, or favor. Somebody say favor. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Happiness comes from having your life under control. It comes from having your life disciplined enough so that no bad habit can destroy you. When you know how to say no to temptation, it produces happiness in your life. That's why the Bible said you shall receive a crown of life. That phrase in the Greek, a crown of life, means life itself. Jesus said, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So when you endure temptation, when you can say no, when everything around you is screaming out loud, go ahead, give in. When you can just tell your flesh, I just refuse to say yes to you. When you can tell your flesh, get out of my way. When you can tell the devil, I'm not listening to you anymore. That's when you can lay your head down at night and you can be at peace with yourself. How many know what I'm talking about? And you can enjoy eternal, abundant life with God. The question is, how do I handle temptation? How do I handle it when I am tempted? How do I say no when I really want to say yes? Have you ever been there? I wish I had some people going to be real with me tonight. How do you say no when you really want to say yes? Tonight I'm going to try to outline at least five principles that will help you deal with temptation. And I wasn't raised in church, as Brother Reggie said. I wasn't raised in church. But one of the reasons why I hated church so much, because I just couldn't see folk trying to be real. They sang their hearts out on Sunday and act like the devil Monday through Saturday. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? And all of them, nobody wanted to ever admit that they had to go through some of the things I went through. And one of the reasons why I struggled so much when I came into the Lord with dealing with certain people was because I faced temptation. I dealt with things I drug in from my past. I had attitudes I hadn't gotten rid of. I had lust in my heart that I hadn't yet conquered. Oh, I wish I had somebody being real with me. I still had, my tongue wouldn't stop moving about some things. I had tempers that I couldn't get rid of. And I was always around perfect people. How you doing today? Blessed and highly favored. I tell you what, I tell folks, how you doing? I'm going to make it. How you doing, brother Ellis? I'm going to make it. I'm not telling you everything's going right, but I'm going to make it. I'm not going to tell you I haven't fought the devil, but I'm going to make it. Tell somebody, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Give somebody a high five. I'm going to make it. I might not have it all together, but I'm going to make it. Glory, glory, glory. So the first principle of dealing with temptation is you got to be realistic. You are going to be tempted. Everybody's tempted. And it doesn't matter how holy you are, you're still going to be tempted. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church, you're still going to be tempted. It doesn't matter how long you sang in the choir or Sunday school or how deep you can get when you preach or teach, you're still going to be tempted. The Bible doesn't say if you are tempted. It says when you are tempted. Just like trials, temptations are inevitable. I can't stand it when I hear somebody say, I've been saved 40 years and I've never been tempted. That's what you get when you cross a crocodile with an abalone. A crocabalone. Somebody say amen and clap your hands to the Lord. Everybody is tempted. You're tempted. I'm tempted. Every day we are tempted. You never get old to be tempted. You're never too young to be tempted. You'll never overcome the fact that you'll be tempted. You'll never get so spiritual that you won't be tempted. Everybody is tempted. In fact, the more you grow toward the Lord, the more you're going to be tempted. That's a fact of life. It's reality. We're all tempted. There's a misconception that once you're born again, once you've repented, once you've been baptized, once you've gotten the Holy Ghost, that all of a sudden you've got it all together. Nothing could be a bigger lie. But when you start believing that, you start trying to fake it. You start trying to wear a mask and pretend like you've got it all together. How could anybody think these thoughts? How could anybody think this? But the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Circle that in your Bible. No temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Everybody gets tempted. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Don't try to hide it. You're just like everybody else. Some of you thinking thoughts right now. You've been having conversations today. You've been acting certain ways on your job and acting certain ways in your house. Oh, yes, you have. You had feelings and emotions that you don't know where they came from, and you don't realize that God is trying to build you and the devil's trying to destroy you. You don't have to hide it. Just face it. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. I meet a lot of people who are intimidated by temptation. They think how could I just think such thoughts? That's why some of us are not soul winners. We're afraid to get contaminated. Afraid to get tempted. Afraid to be around where we could be possibly tempted. Now, I'm not saying go engage in behavior that can cause you to fall. Don't say I'm saying that. Somebody say amen. Amen. But you don't become a soul winner by becoming a hermit. Some of us are intimidated by temptation. the devil puts in your mind, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Go and just, you're human. Just go on and do it, because stop faking it. Do what you feel. Because if you was really saved, you wouldn't be thinking this. If you was really saved, you wouldn't be doing this. Then you know what you should tell the devil? Devil, because I'm saved, you messing with me. And I'm going to stay saved. There's a song out now called I'm Going to Stay Saved. Get up in my face if you want to, but I'm going to stay saved. Talk about me behind my back, but I'm going to stay saved. I know I'm human. I know I'll be tempted. I'm not going on a guilt trip. I'm not staying away from church. I'm not going to stay away from the altar. I'm not going to stop fellowship. I'm not giving up my ministry. I'm not walking out on my Bible study. I'm not giving up my Sunday school class. I'm going to stay saved. In fact, the more you commit it, the more you will be tempted. So face reality. You will be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. Second, be responsible. Accept responsibility. Don't blame other people for your problem. We love to blame people. We love to blame God. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have done this if they hadn't have said this. I wouldn't have done this if they hadn't have done that. I wouldn't be like this if they weren't like this. I wouldn't be like this if such and such hadn't happened. Oh, but nothing could be further from the truth. You chose to be or do or go or act the way you did. Nobody can make you sin. Nobody can make you lie. Nobody can make you hate. Nobody can make you have a bad attitude. Nobody can stop you from praying. Nobody can stop you from praising. Nobody can make you live raggedy. Nope. Somebody say amen. Nobody. In fact, the Bible says, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God is not tempting you, but God will certainly test you. God will allow the devil to bring things in your way, not to hurt you, but God wants to build you. God wants to raise you up. I wish I had somebody saying amen. Why else would God allow Job to go through what he went through? But Job never blamed God, and he never blamed his wife, and he never blamed his friends, and he never blamed his society. Job just bowed his head down and he said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will Rogers said, you can summarize American history with two great movements. The passing of the buffalo and the passing of the buck. We are a society of irresponsibility, a blame society. Blame the government. Blame society. Blame the environment. Blame our heritage. Blame your parents. Blame your spouse. Blame the devil. Blame the church. Blame the Sunday school teacher. Blame God. Some people say it must be God's will or it would not have happened to me. Somebody say amen. But blaming God, I'll tell you something, there's nobody else to blame. You just need to realize you are going to be tempted. I am going to be tempted. And you know what we're tempted by? We're tempted by our own lust. We're tempted by what we want to say yes to, but have very little power to say no to it. We are all going to be tempted. Accept responsibility. And you know, sometimes, this man said, you know, if God didn't want me to have it, it wouldn't have happened, or he wouldn't have put it in my way. I remember years ago when I first got back from Saudi Arabia, I was pastoring a church, my church, and I found out that a man I knew had been slipping out of town going to be with some other woman. And they were talking about being married, and he said, God told me to leave my wife and go marry this woman. And you know what they met? They met at church. And it had to be the will of God, he said, because we wouldn't feel the way we feel if God wasn't in it. That's called blaming God. God don't endorse sin. God don't put his signature on bad decisions. I wish I had somebody say amen. Don't make your bad choices and tell somebody God said do it. God never contradicts his word. He never goes back on his word. His word is more important to him than his name. In fact, he said he has esteemed his name. He has exalted his word above his name. God will never go back on his word. And friend of mine, if it was sin 2,000 years ago, it's sin even tonight. If it was wrong at the beginning of creation, it was wrong in the days of Moses. If it was wrong in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if it was wrong in the days of David, if it was wrong in the days of Nehemiah, Hezekiah, Zechariah, and every other Hiah and Kiah, it's wrong today in the United States, in China, in Japan, it's wrong all over the world. God never changes. Never changes his word. The fact is, I bring most of my problems onto myself. And so do you. If I'm ever going to break those bad habits, if I'm ever going to get rid of those evil thoughts that keep buying to me, I've got to, number one, be realistic. Number two, I've got to be responsible and stop passing the buck. Somebody say amen. Three, you've got to be ready. Tell somebody, I got to be ready. When temptation comes, you got to be ready. Tell somebody you got to be ready. Tell three people, be ready, be ready, be ready. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. You've got to be ready. Each one of us is tempted. But we're tempted when we're drawn away, dragged away, enticed by our own lusts. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. When you are tempted, you're tempted by your own lust. So somebody said, be ready. Temptation doesn't warn you in advance. And that's one of the reasons why it's called temptation. Because you don't know it's there. It catches you by surprise. You've got to be ready. You've got to be on your guard. We are probably the most vulnerable after the time of our greatest successes. Let's tell the truth. I know we come to Sunday night service and we have a blowout. I mean, the Holy Ghost is moving. You've been prophesied to. You spoke in tongues and got a refreshing. You've heard a word from the Lord. You've enjoyed great fellowship with the saints. But how many will agree with me? That's when the devil shows up unexpectedly Monday morning. Sometimes you're not even in the car 5 hot minutes before you and mama got some bad word to say to each other. Y'all not talking back to me. It's mighty quiet. And I must have struck a nerve. You know I'm telling the truth. You're not in the house 5 minutes after church. For you and the kids are fussing. You and the wife are fussing. You and the husband are on tomorrow morning. Somebody say something to you and you open your mouth before you even think about it. I wish I had somebody talking back to me. Temptation comes when you are the most vulnerable. That's why the Bible says, beware, let any man who think he stand take heed, lest he fall. One man, we went to visit the Niagara Falls, and this guy named Bobby Leach was reading the plaque, and he had went over Niagara Falls in a barrel. But he prepared that barrel, and he had it padded and had himself strapped in a certain kind of way. And I don't know if anybody's ever been to Niagara Falls, but man, I wouldn't want to fall over that thing. And even if I had the best kind of protection, I just wouldn't want to take the chance. But he did. He went over the Niagara Falls unharmed. And a couple of days later, he slipped on an orange peel and broke his leg. You see, the devil knows that you're looking out for the big things. You will probably know, some people in this room will probably not go to a nightclub. You will probably not go and rent a rated X movie. You will probably not go to the liquor store and get you a fifth. But you'll probably stand on that front porch when somebody has something to share with you about somebody else they shouldn't be talking about. You will probably not go and commit adultery. You will probably not go and commit fornication. You will probably not go to Walmart and shoplift. Oh, but you will still walk out of church and not agree with something and can't wait to pick up the phone and start talking about it. Or bear a grudge, or be unforgiving, or find yourself in one of those emotional moments where you're saying things and doing things and acting things and feeling ways that you know a child of God should not. But then again, some of you might be innocently, after a great night in church and having the Holy Ghost move in your life, seeing God do great things, and get on the computer just getting ready to do your research from homework, and or maybe do some internet surfing to buy a new gizmo or some kind. Click on one of those sites. When you thought you had it all together. And you thought that you were strong enough to just take a peep. Somebody said, be ready. Don't you ever think you got it all together. Don't you ever walk in here acting like you don't need to pray. Don't you ever walk in here acting like you don't need to talk in tongues. Don't you ever walk out of here acting like you don't need to keep your mind on God. I felt the victory. Oh, don't you ever think yesterday's victory can be your hope in tomorrow's victories. You got to walk this thing day by day by day. You got to be vigilant, be sober, be watchful, be prayerful. Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Bible says when we're tempted, number one, we're tempted by our own desires. You have to understand that it's an inside job. Somebody say inside job. It's an inside job. If I'm tempted, I'm tempted by what's already in me. Oh, I need some help here tonight. Oh, that's why we have a lot of problems in the church, because we're so busy trying to hide it. We don't want to fall on our face and pray. Don't want to lift our voices and confess to God. I got some things in me that need to be straightened out. So when I'm tempted by what's already in me. I wish I could get real here tonight, because some of us weren't raised in praying homes, and some of us had gone through some things in our life that left images carved in our minds and left images carved in our thoughts, and we've got things going on the inside of us. We just can't shake it, and we spend so much time trying to hide it from folk and find ourselves dipping and slipping and sneaking and scheming and conniving. How many know that when we're tempted, we're drawn away of our own lust? You ought to go on and say like David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Confess those sins. Put it on the cross. Put it at the altar. Let the blood of Jesus. The second thing is that when we're tempted and we're dragged away and enticed. He uses these terms, dragged away. It's a hunter's term. It's a term that's used to illustrate the use of a snare or a trap. Enticed is a fisherman's term. It means to be lured by the bait. One of the great secrets of fishing is having the right bait. You know how a fish never goes for a bare hook, But they will go for bait. Now you think by now they'd be able to know what a worm dangling in the middle of the water would look like. But you can drop your hook to a school of fish, and one gets snatched out, and the other watch him go and can't wait for the next hook to come down. Somebody say amen. Amen. Enticed. And some of us forget how tricky the devil is. We can see our friends destroyed, and we can see our neighbors tempted. We can see good people fall. We can see our sons and daughters tempted. We can see our neighbors tempted and fall in sin, and yet we find ourselves going for the same bait, for the same hook, for the same thing over and over again. Be not deceived. The devil's always up to the same old trick. And if it destroyed men like Solomon and David and Samson and other greats of the Bible, it will destroy you. The devil knows you. Knows you inside out. I'm going to close in a minute, but let me tell you something. Especially you young ladies. Can I get real here tonight? The devil knows you. He knows you very carefully. Women today face a lot of insecurities, especially young girls. And there's a couple of tricks the devil uses. Number one, he comes dressed up like a young man. And it's usually a young man that won't be nothing but your friend. I just want to be your friend. I just want to be your friend. Somebody you can talk to. Now listen, ladies, hear me. Don't ever tell that joker what you really think. I got three girls. I want you to know this. Listen to me close. Because they just want to be your friend. So they get you spilling your guts. You tell them all that you feel. All your thoughts. Oh, he's just somebody I can talk to. And he learns all the buttons to push. He knows you. Now he knows you better than you know you. And just to test you, he'll say something to get you to react. He already knows what you're going to do. And before you know it, you're asking yourself questions you never thought to ask. And you're dealing with sensitivities you never thought you'd have to deal with. And you're making compromises you never dreamed you'd make. Oh, I wish I had somebody saying amen. That's why you always be ready and never let yourself be deceived. Now, young men, there are also devils out there. And they come with lips, hips, and fingertips. I better behave myself. It's too late at night. And they come a little slyer because especially in the church, girls in the church are not as forward as girls in the world. So they come with a different technique. The skirt's just a little too tight. And the blouse loses a couple of buttons. Ooh, Jesus, I got to be there. Hey, master. And Solomon said, be careful when you look into her eyes. Eyes talk loud when the mouth say nothing. And the touch of a woman is deadly if she's not your wife. And young men, some young men are stimulated by different physical things. And she's soon to find it out. Oh, Jesus. That's why when you're trying to be holy, brother, don't let her hug you. I'm sorry. I don't know. Temptation always looks better than it really is. Sin always looks better than it really is. It starts out real small, starts out enticing, but it ends up controlling. It starts out tempting, but it ends up tormenting. It starts out by being interesting, and then it ends up being irritating. Sin doesn't always look like sin. It doesn't always feel like sin, but it's still sin. Sin is still a sheep, still a wolf in sheep's clothing. But you can't play with temptation very long before you get burned. The devil knows you. He'll figure it out. People like to say, Pastor Ellis, and I like to talk to people about their behavior. Pastor, back off. You know, I'm grown. I can make my own way. I can do my own thing. And let me tell you, it's a real story. I'm closed. I got only about a few more minutes. I tell young people in our church, now listen, don't be no fool. You, young man, you don't go to no young lady's house by yourself. And young lady, you don't let him. And so, I don't know. I may be overstepping my boundaries. I tell people that. So one couple, dating couple, they weren't even dating. They were just friends. Told me I was getting in their business. I said, it's your business then. I just want you to know it's your business. 9 months later, he's trying to deny the claim. And she said, I don't know what happened. I said, they figured it out 7,000 years ago. Y'all missed that one, didn't you? I know what happened. You didn't believe that the devil had your number. You thought you could get away with it. You thought you were stronger than you were. How many know that biology can mess up your psychology and destroy your spirituality? Woo! Clap your hands and praise him. Disobedience is another way that sin gets into your life. Somebody say disobedience. It begins in the mind. It starts in the imagination. Starts with your thoughts. Then moves into your actions. If the devil can get your attention, if he can get you to have an attitude, if he can get you to ponder certain thoughts. And some people say, well, it's just harmless fantasy. There's no such thing. It starts in your mind, and it eventually comes out in your life. And I don't know. I don't want to be say anything I shouldn't say, but that's why I'm telling you the worst thing you can do is sit down in front of that hell box and watch things you shouldn't be watching. Now, when I first got saved, I used to be around a group of Christians that were death on worldly music, and rightly so. But they would tear you up, man. What you listening to that worldly music for? It don't glorify God. And I remember getting in a car, and I was a new convert, so I didn't know a whole lot. And I was a worldly new convert. So I first came to God, I didn't know anything about God, so I just had a lot to learn. So I got in the back seat, and this saint got in the front seat, and his brother had on his radio, and man, he playing some serious head bopping. Back in those days, it was the 80s, so you know what was going on in the 80s. He was playing some that pop and that, you know, that club music, that dance music. So I jumped in the back seat, and he jumped in the front seat, and brother turned his car on, had his radio on. He was playing that music. And so the other saint said, man, what you doing listening to that music? My God, man. Brother said, well, what's wrong with it? It's just music. He said, no, man, that's worldly music. That music full of the devil. No, you shouldn't be listening to that music. It don't glorify God. And we was only on our way to this other saint's house. And so we got to his house, and guess what he had in his house? He had television And guess what? When we got in the house, guess what the commercial was playing? That music. Now, what difference does it make whether it goes in the ear hole or the high hole? It's still the same devil. It's bad to listen to them shaking the music around, but it ain't nothing wrong with watching them in a bikini commercial. Coke is the real thing. Somebody say disobedience. Don't you ever think for 1 minute that when it gets into your mind, it just stops right there. It gets into your mind. It desensitizes you. It makes you numb to certain convictions. Before you know it, you don't think anything's wrong with it. You don't see anything wrong with it. You don't feel any wrong. I wish I had a witness here. Won't you just go and clap your hands and say, devil, get out of my mind. I won't think those thoughts. I won't let it in. I won't let it get into my mind. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. When it is finished, it kills you. Somebody said, well, that's not me. I'm in church. This is the scary part. I'm closing just a minute, but this is the scary part. Going to church don't make you no more saved. Then going to AutoZone would turn you into a spark plug. That's why people can be in church and the same message that moves one person to the altar frustrates them enough to move them to the door. That's why we can be in the house of God over and over and over again and have to be pumped and primed and prodded and convinced to experience a prayer experience. That's why some people can find nothing spiritual in their life to say or do, though they're in church, because of death. My little sister died at 7 years old. Please be patient with me. I just want to close this in just a minute. My little sister died when she was 7 years old, and I was in the streets. I was a thug, so I didn't know anything about God at the time, but I remember standing over her casket. She was a small casket, and I was there crying, and I was talking to her. You know how some of us do that. I'm going to miss you, crying, tears dripping down. The music was playing in the room, and I could hear it. People were walking past, and they were standing, and they were looking at her, and seeing how cute she looked and you know, that kind of thing, how we do it. And the music was playing, people were chatting, and physically, we were in the same room. The same music was playing. The same people were talking. All the same decorations everybody enjoyed were there. But we were separated. Though we were in the same room physically, we're separated by two entirely different worlds. The world of the living and the world of the dead. And that's why people can be in the church and all the same music is playing. They hear the same message preached. They see the same things happening. And one person can be moved to reach for God and the other people can sit numb and cold and indifferent and mockingly, and nothing happens in their heart, because sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And so how do you overcome temptation? Fourth is you refocus. Since temptation begins on the inside, you've got to begin on the inside. Don't look for the music to be right. Don't look for the preacher to say the magic thing to get you moving to the altar. Don't look for there to be some sort of celebration at the end of the sermon for you to rush and feel, get me pumped up, get me excited. No, you need to look deep into your own spirit and ask yourself the question, do you want change? Turn your attention to the right thing and refocus. Things that are good, things that are holy, things that are pure, and look in yourself and say, God, search me. See if there's any wicked thing in me. And then finally, you have to be renewed. To some, it's reborn. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. If you're in this church and you've been baptized and you've had the Holy Ghost for a long time, and you just don't know why you're fighting the same battles over and over again, maybe it's time for you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I used to think when I was a young preacher and I was brand new at this, that at the end of a sermon, if I didn't hoop and didn't get you excited and the music wasn't blasting real loud, that perhaps I have failed. I used to even take the blame if people didn't get the Holy Ghost. Have you noticed that in our movement, a man is responsible for making sure you get the Holy Ghost? And we measure others on that kind of criteria. If you get the Holy Ghost, I'm excited for you. If you don't, it's not my fault. If you come and you lift your hands and you begin to praise God and the warm presence of the Lord falls on you and you just deeply, sincerely receive what God has, I rejoice with you. But if you don't, it's not my fault. You don't overcome temptation by waiting on me to trigger your response. You have to refocus and you have to be reborn. And you have to be renewed. Stand to your feet tonight. Before the music plays, no music at all, I want everybody in this room to think about the facts that I've laid out about overcoming temptation and be real with yourself. Lift your hands towards heaven. I want you to begin talking to the Lord all over the room. Come on, fill it up with God's praises all over the room. Come on, just talk to the Lord. Don't look around the room. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying or doing. Will you just lift up your voice and begin talking to the Lord? Be realistic. We're all going to be tempted. Everybody in this room has been tempted. In fact, Jesus, our great high priest, was tempted in all points like as we. We've all been tempted. Be realistic. But you've got to be responsible for what you are dealing with. You've got to be responsible for your response to God. You've got to be responsible for how you've dealt with temptation. Hallelujah. 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 Now I want you to begin talking to the Lord all over this room. Wherever you are, whoever you are, I want you to begin to acknowledge right now your need for God to give you strength. Your need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, or your need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Speak with your mouth. I need you, Jesus. I need to be renewed. I need to be filled. I need to be restored. I need to be revived. Come on, let the Holy Ghost fall on you. Now, while you're praying, I want you to come and gather around the altar. I want you to make a move from your seats and begin lifting up your voice all over the room. Hallelujah. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to lift up your voice right now and begin praying in that heavenly language. Begin praying in the Holy Ghost. Begin praying in the Spirit right now. Come on, begin praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. 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 Come on, all over the room. Fill it up. Fill the up. Fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it up. Come on, praise him with your voices. Speak in that heavenly language. Let the Holy Ghost fall on you. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost fall on you. You are an overcomer. You will be tempted, but you are an overcomer. The devil will come against you, but you are an overcomer. He will try you, but you are an overcomer. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Come on, lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. Oh, yeah. Here I am to bow down. Say, you're my God.
You're
altogether
lovely.
Worthy.
Altogether
marvelous. Wonderful. To bow down.
Here I am to say that you're my God.
Come on. Don't stop praising him. Don't stop reaching. You're all together lovely. Now listen, I'm going to do something tonight. I don't know how comfortable you are with this, but there are times in my ministry where I don't lay hands on people. When you're driving down the street Tuesday morning or afternoon, and you've just experienced some negative thing, and you're tempted to respond in sin, myself or Pastor Sutton or one of the leaders will not be in that car to lay hands on you. There won't be anybody who will impart to you a response, a right word. And I know sometimes at Pentecost we are accustomed to the laying on of hands, and it is a very true and a right thing to do. I'm not at all speaking against what we do with that. But there are times when we need to be reminded. Sometimes it's me and God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sometimes it's me and God. And I'm not going to be in your car and say, come on, come on, praise him. Come on, come on, lift your voice up. Come on, pray. I won't be there to do that. I won't be there to say, come on, lift your hands. Come on, get your voice. Lift your voice. I won't be there to say that. So sometimes at moments like these, you need to block out everybody else around you and close your eyes and get desperate for God to do something in your life and your experience tonight. For just a moment, I want everybody to close your eyes for just a moment. Lift your hands towards heaven, and I want you to give God a very desperate praise. Desperate praise. I don't want you looking for anybody else. What they might be experiencing or comparing yourself to anybody else. But right now, I just want you to give God some desperate praise. We've all been tempted. We've all struggled. We've all had our moments. We've all experienced our weaknesses. We've all had our hard times. But tonight, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. desperate. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I need you, Jesus. I can't do it by myself. I need you, Jesus. I need your strength. I need your power. I need you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Come on. Lift your voice. Come on, get desperate. Get desperate for a breakthrough. Get desperate for your renewing. Get desperate for your refreshing. Get desperate. Get desperate for that outpour of the Holy Ghost in your life. Get desperate for the fire to fall. Get desperate. Get desperate. Yes. 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 That's right. 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 Now clap your hands and praise him right now. Come on, clap him right now. Clap your hands right now. Now lift your voice with a voice of triumph all over the room. If you are an overcomer, praise him. If you are victorious, praise him. If you know God's in your corner, praise him. If you know you can...